You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
This is a Boardwalk Audio podcast.
We got your favorite sports and we got your favorite team.
Big Red, go Gators.
Big Red,
go Gators.
Way out in California, but we represent the scene.
Big Red,
go Gators.
Big Red,
go Gators. Pat, Joe, and Tweety are here to make some noise. We got a podcast. We're based at Galleon and Boyd. Big Red,
go Gators.
Big Red,
go Gators.
Big Red,
go Gators.
Yeah.
Big Red Copcast. I'm Pat.
I'm Joe. That's it.
See, we did that. We did that nice and slow. There was no Tweety. I'm not sure I follow his explanation for not doing the show today.
He didn't want to do the episode today. Yeah. He didn't say that in as many words, but that is my interpretation. I mean, to be fully honest, I don't want to do the show today either.
No.
Why would anyone want to do the show unless, and this can get onto my premise, the only premise I have at this point, unless they were an Iowa plant who was enjoying all of this, such as perhaps our defensive coordinator.
We've had a few defensive staffs in a row that have had an Iowa plant, because we had Kaz as the defensive line coach, Bo Pelini.
Yeah, maybe we need to bring Pelini back.
Well, it's the losing streak to Iowa, five straight games now, and at least six out of the last seven. That five-game losing streak has all occurred with former Hawkeyes
on the defensive staff.
Yeah. I mean, if we drop six straight to them this week, which
it's possible. Anything's possible, clearly.
I think we can still beat them too, even though we laid
of course.
The biggest fucking egg yesterday. Like I said this the last couple of years when we didn't look like a good team and then played Iowa. We're going to have a chance just because the way Iowa plays.
Yes. Ohio State is, and maybe Indiana are the two teams, but I don't even think Indiana. I think there's Ohio State at, let's say, a ranking of nine out of 10. And then every other team in the Big Ten is a six or is a four to a six. And they don't know. It's week to week. Some weeks there are three. Their ceiling might be a seven. And that's what you're seeing. You're seeing Northwestern give a seven performance every game, maybe even stretch up to eight, which is the max they could ever do. and Northwestern has never gone below a 5 in a game.
Yeah.
We've probably never gone above a 5 if you're ranking it that way, you know?
This like, season?
Yes.
Yeah.
None of our, we haven't had a game where I would call it more than like, you know, what, a C plus.
Yeah.
And that was our win. And even that was kind of crap.
It's interesting that you bring up both Northwestern and Indiana, because like, it's real easy to, especially last year and then into this offseason, it was real easy to shit on Indiana because they're just, they're annoying. Like, yes, their fan base.
Well, some I mean, of the people like,
in,
the, you know,
in that locker room, but they're good. Like, they're a, and there's a similarity between Northwestern and Indiana. They are well coached, don't make mistakes, and there is just a tough persona in both of those teams. This Nebraska team does not have that right now. But then thinking of Indiana, you know, I was thinking of like, we've gone over this quite a bit, a lot over the years. Like, will Nebraska ever have that capability of like, is this a salvageable program? Because you're like Indiana is, you know, Nebraska basketball has outdrawn plenty of Indiana football games over the years. Like, Indiana has no tradition, no football fan support, and then here they are outperforming us, and you think, a lot of it is the expectations.
So yes,
then I realized, like, Indiana basketball and Nebraska football are in both the same position, where there's a lot of support, there's a lot of like pressure to do well, and it makes you wonder, with all that there, that might be the part that makes it impossible. And like, the no pressure environment of Indiana football, and to a certain extent, like a Nebraska basketball,
well,
creates
that's what
a freedom that allows the right coach potentially to be able to succeed. There are tons of coaches who are just going to die, whether it be Archie Miller or Scott Frost, in these coaching graveyards.
Yes. And well, and let's not call Nebraska a graveyard yet, but I think that's kind of the point there in this last game, at least. So we got a team coming in that Nebraska thinks they're going to win, and they're favored like we haven't been favored in a long time. And I think, you know, I don't know where the good and the bad of this is, but I think when you're Nebraska and you're favored by 20, suddenly these guys thought they were the mid-90s Nebraska team. But the difference is those mid-90s Nebraska teams didn't take anybody for granted and beat the crap out of them. And maybe, you know, when you're up 55 points, you start to take it for granted. But they're like, unfortunately, I think it's great in a way for recruiting to have this reputation. But guys need to come in and play like they're at Indiana right now, because nobody is afraid of the Nebraska mystique right now, because it doesn't come with any solid foundation behind it other than the mystique. So I think the Indiana example is actually really good, because it's kind of the opposite with their basketball and our basketball.
And I think, I mean, I'm a Husker fan, so it's easy to just say like, we're going to be good and then just be disappointed, because that's just what being a Husker fan is, no matter what the sport is. But I think Hoiball is going to be good this year.
Yes. And if we want to pivot to basketball, I wouldn't blame us, but we still have a little bit of time. I mean, that season is up for grabs in terms of, isn't it supposed to start in like a few weeks? Yes.
Like this week.
Yeah.
They just announced the schedule,
but they keep
past
pushing
week.
Stuff. Then they scheduled it all. Now they're like pushing all these tournaments. I believe it was honestly Patino, and for whatever else evil Patino possesses, he is a basketball savant.
He's also a savant at banging on restaurant tables.
Yeah, but only for a minute.
what would that be like to be in a deposition and have that come up, like about the length of your sexual performance?
Well, then again, if it's like 20 minutes on the table, that's another thing too. It's like, Jesus, I mean, Like, really, it's like, is that any better? That's just like breaking the table.
He's little.
But yes, but he so to speak, he has recommended pushing it all to May Madness so that the season starts in January. I don't really know right now that January is going to be any better, given that winter is coming, so to speak, and literally. Like, I'm glad I'm in California only because you can still go outside for stuff now.
Yeah, that's,
you know,
that's the really tough part about right here, right now.
It's not just right there. Everywhere except for Florida, where really people probably should stay in their house more than anywhere. and the West Coast, you know, like, just the Sun Belt is the only place where people can really go outside.
Except it was tough. It was tough right about the time that we left because we couldn't go outside because everything was on fire.
Right.
Is it cleared up?
There's no fires right now, but I mean, that doesn't mean there hasn't been much rain either.
Yeah.
It's just craziness right now. And like,
so what you're telling me is the hoop season should do like outdoor asphalt tournaments, like,
yes,
Santa Monica.
Remember when they would do those tournaments like on the, like, yes, oh my god, that'd be a great idea. And also, remember when they do those like opening season games on like an aircraft carrier or something like that? Just do that. Send your team out there on an aircraft carrier. The Pac-12 is going to be on this aircraft carrier playing games, you know, all day, rotating. Get all their conference games done. This is a great idea.
I'm going to go ahead and say crowding a bunch of guys onto a ship probably isn't a great idea.
Oh, either. Yes. You're right. Cruise ships. But I mean, you're right. Military ships had this spread too. Okay, forget it.
So I want to go back to the thing that you just said a little bit ago about how maybe Nebraska, like, let it get to their heads a little bit. Did you know, so the last time Nebraska won consecutive games, they beat Illinois on September 21st of last year to win two in a row. And that was their last, if you call that a streak, that was their last consecutive game winning streak.
How about their last
game winning streak in September last? What's that?
Have they had two conference games in a row anytime in the last 8 years?
Hold up. I gotta think on that. Probably not.
Because the Illinois one came off of a non-conference win.
Yeah, it went Northern Illinois, then Illinois.
Yeah.
I'm sure we probably didn't win two in a row in 18 or 17.
Okay, well then, stop. Please don't.
Oh, no, wait, no. Huh. We did win two in a row.
At the end?
In the 2018 season, Scott Frost's first year. Because we beat Illinois and then Michigan State.
which
you look at those two scores and it's just ridiculous. 54-35 and then 9-6. That is
and like the one thing, like, for Nebraska, you know, we've had every year has been kind of like this, so whatever. If we had not, this year would be a little more acceptable in that I do believe this is just a cluster F of a year where, like, Penn State is not an 0-5 team probably in a normal year. Michigan, God, I wanted Rutgers to win that game and they blew it. They blew it so hard. Like, just sitting on that, why do teams like sit on the ball to give themselves a 50-yard field goal when you could try to get a few yards and make it a 40-yard field goal or whatever? You know, he ended up losing 3 yards when he sat on it. I don't know if you watched the end of the game. But there was in overtime, Michigan missed a field goal. So all Rutgers had to do was kick a field goal. It's like third and eight. So instead of running it and trying to get 3-4 yards to make it a, you know, a 44-yard field goal, he sits on the ball and loses 4 yards. So now it's a 48.
Just kick it on third down then.
Well, yes, if you're going to lose 2 yards, you're right. So that was really, and Shiano's an idiot. But you got a couple
he's blown the game the last 2 weeks late.
Oh yeah.
They should have beaten Illinois too.
And he and Harbaugh, I said this near the end of the game to no one basically, but to my wife who was not listening. But I was like, these guys are going to use every timeout in the rest of this half just so they can get the TV shot on them talking to their team. Because like there were a couple timeouts that they took at the end where it's like, come on, man, these guys are just—they're just such egomaniacs.
Well, yeah, yeah. What were two of the points I was
just Schiano and Harbaugh, and probably people think that about Frost too.
Every non-Nebraska fan says that about Frost, and like, so it kind of brings me to an idea about like, so just like perception of the team, perception of like what the fan base,
excuse me, watchers,
of what the fan base,
I had to wipe my nose like, there.
Don't worry, man. I just hope it's not COVID.
You
good?
Freaking allergies are bad out here too.
Oh, gotcha. But no, like the perception of like what the fans are to the, so like this kind of ties back to our discussion of like blue blood programs and like once you fall on hard times, are you ever able to get out of it? But also,
right.
So this perception of Frost and then perception of like what we should be. I think I've said something similar to this before, but I think sometimes we as fans can be a hindrance and think that we're more responsible for the Nebraska success than what we are. Like, yes, we provide a little bit of a personality of what Nebraska is, and it can help with recruiting to a certain extent, but also like, I mean, there were fans on Twitter yesterday so down on things, then like tweeting at Thomas Fedone, like just decommit, this sucks. It's like, and right, like a person shouldn't expect or hope for mediocrity or just be like, but when I show up to watch a Husker game now, my attitude is, I hope it goes well. If it doesn't, it doesn't. If it does, it does. If it doesn't, it doesn't. Now, I don't want Scott Frost or Wandale Robinson or Luke McCaffrey or Adrian Martinez or anybody having that approach as, you know, as players or coaches. I think it would do Husker fans a pretty good service to be, because instead of talking in all these like coach player truisms that are like, just relax. And enjoy it.
Yes.
And stop. Like, I'm not going to tell you what to do. If you want to ruin your Saturday and you want to ruin the Saturday.
You just get this spiral. Exactly. You take it too seriously and then everything goes bad. And then you get into a spiral and you start tweeting. And now other fans are tweeting into a spiral. And it turns into a shit tornado.
Yeah. Scott Frost and his players, like, they're getting compensated in one way or another, many of them handsomely, if you're speaking of the coaches. They should take this shit seriously. This is their jobs, and a lot of people are relying on them to do well. It is not our duty to be the hard asses and to be like, well, you know, if you don't take it seriously, you can't win. But honestly, we've taken it plenty seriously as fans for the last 20 years and it hasn't done shit.
No, look,
that's my rant.
It's a good rant. And really, you know, in the good times, this fanaticism is great, but in the bad times, the fanaticism, now we don't have anybody killing 300-year-old trees at this point from some, you know, like that
always
kind of fanaticism.
Yes. A plus.
Yeah. Also probably, even though Arbor Day came from Nebraska, are there any 300-year-old trees in Nebraska? Not a lot of big trees that I know of.
See, I mean, that's kind of the thing of Arbor Day. We plant a lot of new trees.
Right. Yeah, it's true. Yeah. But it's like that area of the country is not like forest country. Maybe Western Nebraska has a little bit going up to the Rockies. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, that's
I'm actually not that familiar with the terrain.
Definitely, I wouldn't. I'd consider more near the Missouri River a little bit more tree line.
Okay, yeah.
Than like the western.
Yes, probably there.
Yeah. Anyway,
because that's still plains leading up to the Rockies. Anyway, yes.
Yeah.
I think I really like that comment you made, you know, about Illinois, not Illinois, about Indiana and Northwestern, because their fans don't have the expectations. Now, Northwestern, it kind of reminds me a little of the Marlins, where if you're okay. not, you know, like where the Marlins are good once every 15 years. Now, it just so happened they've lucked out twice and gotten to the World Series in that good period. Northwestern had their one Rose Bowl, and they've had years of I think they won a Big Ten title in the last, or at least a Big Ten.
Well, they won a divisional title, yeah.
Yes. And so that's going to keep them happy once every 10 years. You know, if Fitzgerald maintains a 500 record, you know, through every 5-year thing and then gets a 10 win season. Whereas look at what we've done with firing Pelini after 9 and 10 win season. I'm not questioning that move, but it just puts into perspective what the expectations are. Pelini puts together 6 straight 9 win seasons and is gone. Fitzgerald gets 2 9 win seasons out of 6 and a contract extension. The guy at Indiana is going to get an extension for, you know, a 2-loss season where he plays 8 games.
Yeah. I mean, he might still be just a 1. That's,
yeah. That no, but my, what I'm saying is money, that level of, sorry, I lost my
you're
thing.
Good.
That level of winning is enough there. Now, people, yeah. I saw some stuff criticizing the extension Frost got, like comparing it to Muschamp. Crock of shit. Couldn't be more different. Couldn't be a more different situation. Muschamp is an SEC, like, you know, a gun for hire. Like, yeah, a lot of these SEC guys who rotate through those shitty SEC teams are.
Well, he's about not to be a defensive coordinator for the rest
right.
of
the year. Exactly. And Frost is very unique in this situation in that there is not one other coach in the country who gets this opportunity at Nebraska and this rope. But a lot of schools don't have a guy like this. There's no guy at South Carolina who can come in and be the coach who was the national championship winning quarterback. You know, this would be like Leinart or coming to USC. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's accurate. I mean, if Leinart had
and so
gone...
I'm glad I need. Yeah, but if you were to say, let's say it's not Scott Frost, let's say he's a generic coach right now, Coach yeah. X, and you were to fire him, what coach would you want to bring in? Scott Frost, no matter what his record is, wherever. Let's say Frost is doing this right now at Oregon, okay?
Okay.
Let's say he's at Oregon and it's not going the way he wants, and we're hiring a coach right now. Whether he's 10-1 or 3-7, we still would hire Scott Frost right now, probably.
Well, I wouldn't want that.
You wouldn't want to bring a 3-7 Frost in. But what I'm saying is that I think he's the best choice for us, no matter what our record is now.
Well, I mean, there will always be a certain faction of the fan base that just every time a new head coach comes in, they're like, what staff should they hire? And they pick like, Corey Ross to coach running backs, Brandon Kinney to coach wide receivers, Adam Carricker to coach line. None of those guys have ever coached, but like everyone wants to list off.
And that's not
going to
work either. Yes. But this is a good transition to the coaching. Some changes are probably coming.
Yeah. I mean, this team, and it's just such a weird season. It's going to like in hindsight, it would have been best for Nebraska to just sit this one out. I've asked the question a few times and I don't on Twitter and I don't ever really get anyone to give a straight answer. And like, we get a lot of really honest people most of the time on our Twitter, but like, are people happy that this is going on
being played?
Yeah. Cause well, I mean,
there,
because it's not like the economic benefits are really being supplied right now, because you can't just, I mean, I realize there are a lot of bars open during the games, even as now, I guess, 1 in 8 Nebraskans
but that's not, had COVID. That's not, to me, yeah, that's not a rationalization to me. You know, 1 out of every, I think, 1,000 people in North Dakota has died of COVID.
Wow. I mean, so only not one has person it. Died. Like, only one person has died in North Dakota.
Well, yeah, right. It's like 11 deaths and that's what you get. But I mean, that's a pretty high rate. That's not, yeah. That's like not of people infected. That's of people who live in this state, a 10th of a percent gone.
I work
that's
for
400,000 people. Right, if it's California, by the way,
damn. I work for a news organization right now, and people get mad at like how much COVID gets brought up. But I mean, it controls the entire narrative right now. And like,
I wonder if people got mad how much World War II got brought up during World War II.
So I'm gonna divert it back to football, because like, okay.
because Vietnam was on the papers a lot too. And I think less people died in Vietnam than have died from COVID. So that's my, that I'll stop on that.
Everyone knows where you and I stand, Joe.
Yes,
and
yes.
We know everyone knows that Tweety would be yelling at us right now if he were here. But what was it? Where was I going?
Coaching. Well, you were talking COVID, but I was talking like, coaching.
Are we happy this season's being played? Like, I mean, again, like, I don't know that the state is seeing the economic benefits that, you know, nothing close to what it would be if it were a full season. It's been god awful for the most part. Even the win was not that satisfying.
Nothing has been fun about this season. And for the Big Ten, not great.
Yeah. And then even Dan Wolken, former guest of the Cobcast, like went on Twitter and spiked the football on Scott Frost yesterday.
Yeah, I saw that.
About, and like, there's just, yeah.
But you knew that was going to happen if we didn't. I mean, you're right. The most ideal thing was he fights hard. The Big Ten keeps their foot down, and it looks like he really wanted to play more than anybody. Let's just say the season goes that way and the Big Ten doesn't go along. The Big Ten would look a lot better right now with all these games being canceled. They would be able to stand on a pedestal. Now, by playing and having games canceled on their own, they've lost that high ground, so to speak. And I'm not saying whether it's better or not, and people would be complaining and people want their football, but the season is still not guaranteed to finish.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I mean,
it probably will get there. But like, we would have, you're right. The question is, would we have looked better if we did the same fight but didn't get to play? Probably yes.
Yeah. I mean, we said, you and I both said before the season that Nebraska needs to play and win games from a recruiting standpoint. And that like, coming off of 2 losing seasons, not having a season would be really bad for them. And I still think that would have been true. But having a third season,
what level of bad,
and laying an egg.
Hey, we could still win out and have a winning season.
Yeah, and honestly, I'm not ruling that out. Like, I don't
think it's completely out of question. What are the teams? Iowa, Minnesota, and Purdue?
Yeah.
Right?
Yes. Well, yeah, that sounds right. Yeah.
And then maybe another game, you know, with whoever we would match up across the side. It'd be funny if it was Rutgers. I also wonder if those matchups are rematches, will the Big Ten tweak it just to get new matchups if it's below the top game?
You could probably do that within reason.
Ties. If there's ties, you can make the.
Yeah. I mean, depending on how many of them are rematches or how many of them the potential matches would be rematches.
Yeah.
I think there's a real possibility. I do think it could get messy though. Scott Frost waited forever and ever and ever and ever to make a quarterback change. And I think as a result, he's not going to revert back until it becomes an absolute necessity. And I don't think that's unwise. You don't want to have just this revolving door.
That's what the Bears did. If you have two quarterbacks, you have none.
But that said, so you said you turned off the game in the fourth quarter, right?
Yeah. I was checking in. I was keeping track mostly through ESPN, the website. You know, I was probably 5-10 minutes looking at the score. And I was like, well, if something compels me to come back and watch. But I watched enough to, like, McCaffrey missed some throws there that I feel like Martinez makes, you know. And see, and that, again.
That's kind of my point. The change needed to be made when it was made with Adrian and Luke. Like, we needed some sort of spark. But my worry when it happened was that Adrian Martinez, the thing that the offense was not doing under him, we weren't spreading the field, we weren't opening things up and stretching the field and hitting plays downfield. But the thing of that is, that is the weakest part of Luke McCaffrey's game. He's not a natural thrower. He throws a pretty ugly ball. He does not have great arm strength. And so then in the fourth quarter, and it was garbage time, so you can't take too much from it, but Adrian Martinez looked like a college quarterback when he came in and led a touchdown drive.
Right.
And again, you can't take too much from a garbage time drive, but he had an ability to throw the ball. Is he a future Heisman winner? No, but he looked like a quarterback. Luke McCaffrey looks like an athlete trying to play quarterback. He is the better runner, and Adrian was running the ball pretty well this year.
I think Luke McCaffrey
is physical, but he's not. He can't. He cost us a lot of points yesterday, and I don't mean to put that on him, but that throw down the field late in the first half that was picked off, he just couldn't get it.
That guy was open by 15 yards.
Yeah.
Yes. Look, but imagine this. Imagine that Luke McCaffrey, now I'm going into a different direction.
Okay.
But we've seen a lot of him throwing. Imagine Luke McCaffrey is where Cade Warner is.
Oh my God.
That's your receiver. You know, like that improves the team. Like, if you look at it that way, and yes. And maybe that's the way, you know, maybe he needed McCaffrey to see where he belongs as a college thrower to make that move. But like, Christian McCaffrey is the best running back in the NFL, and his brother seems to work like run like that. You know,
he is so
they both are physical. Sorry.
You're good.
Yes.
He is crazy physical for as like,
but a quarterback's going to get hurt being that physical. You know what I mean? Like, cause a quarterback is going to be getting that physical against defensive linemen. A lot of the times a wide receiver or running back is getting out there against safeties, linebackers, not that they don't hit, but like, if you're getting hit 10 times, I want to get hit by the 200-pound guy, not the 300-pound guy.
Yeah.
Like, Drew Brees. Did you see the hit for Drew Brees?
Which one?
He broke 8 ribs. He broke 8 ribs. And the guy barely fell on him, on the side of him. Now, that's because he's old and his bones are brittle. Yeah. And, you know, but like that was really a nothing hit. And he punctured his lung and broke 8 ribs.
I think there must be something with the McCaffrey blood that makes them fairly resistant to that. But
they're a football family. These guys were beating the crap out of each other all the time. Absolutely.
My bigger concern is just like the quarterback instincts. Like, so people complained that opening, that very first play after the kickoff was killer yesterday, the fumble that wasn't reviewed. And people complained about that not being reviewed. And I get that. But here's the thing. even if that, so the best case scenario on that play is that it was an inexcusable penalty, that he was 2 or 3 yards past the line of scrimmage and threw a forward pass. That's a terrible best case scenario. That, like,
yeah,
either a really bad penalty or a terrible turnover. That you can't have that out of your quarterback.
No, not when you're a team that needs everything to go right to win.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like and maybe that's a little bit of it too, because now everyone's in a position where they're scared to fail. Like in the second half against Penn State, you know, like it's, well, we've got a lead. Shit. Don't want to blow this. You know, there's no confidence in the team whatsoever.
Yeah, this no fear of failure thing has not really panned out for Scott Frost in Nebraska. And it's funny, like, if Nebraska could have just been a little bit worse the year before he took over, like he, from a like PR and building the locker room standpoint, chose perfectly when he went to UCF.
Because yes.
Because all you got to do is just keep showing progress as a coach, and then you can have that bluster and build from there. He took over a winless team. Like they just like scrapped to a bowl game his first year and then went undefeated. Like, I think he thought, we'll be able to build like that our first year in Nebraska. I mean, even though Nebraska had won 4 games the year before, but not zero.
Well,
but,
and
yeah, go ahead.
He, I think there are some things like the two stars you can recruit in, like Florida is just such a hotbed of players. So when you have a team full of Florida players, and here's the more important
in the AAC
thing. Boom. He's recruited a higher ranking class at Nebraska, but you're playing in the Big Ten. Memphis is not the toughest game on your schedule. You know, yeah. Cincinnati is better than any team that those Nebraska, Florida teams played this year. Cincinnati, you know, like,
yeah.
But
that's, they're in that conference though.
But yes, but like that is, oh, that's true. But that's better than, I think that Cincinnati team, maybe not better than the team Frost coached, but better than any team they played in that era.
Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, basically, during Scott Frost's 2 years at UCF, there were two really good teams in that conference, UCF and Memphis. And there were some solid middle tier teams. But yeah, I mean.
And now their coaches are at Florida State and Nebraska, which, you know, are in the deepest depths of their history.
What did you think of the, did you follow much of that Florida State Clemson situation this weekend?
I was going to kind of flip over to the game there and saw it wasn't on.
So what happened was Clemson had a kid with COVID. He practiced with them all week. I think he may have even made the trip.
And he had symptoms.
Then he tests positive, and like the Clemson medical people and the Florida State medical people communicated, and Florida State people are like, we're not super comfortable with the situation. And I'm sure Clemson fans are like, yeah, just because you thought you were going to get your asses kicked.
Right.
But it's also like, maybe there was that component too, but like,
sure, but that, guess what, I don't think you can second guess that, you know. Yes, no.
Well, especially because they were fighting an uphill battle after Mike Norvell got sick earlier in the year. Like, it took them a while to kind of just get back down to zero,
and in a rational world these questions wouldn't even get raised.
Yeah,
like, oh, these unpaid football players,
yeah,
don't want to risk, you know, catching COVID. That seems fair, but no, we're not in that world. So yeah, I mean, that's what I mean. This whole season has been, and this kind of gets back to the thing, you know, if the Big Ten doesn't play, really the only team that's on Northwestern, Indiana, and Ohio State. Those three teams thus far are happy that we played. The other 11 teams in the Big Ten, I really don't think any of them can make the case that it's been good for them. Michigan, Nebraska, Penn State, Minnesota, none of those teams are happy with what's going on.
Well, did you see Illinois thank Nebraska for bringing Big Ten football back in a tweet yesterday? Like, come on, man.
That's where we're
everyone
at.
Everyone just wants to spike.
That's where we're at. Yes. Yes. It's true. It's so sad.
We're a one-win team. We improved last year by going 5-7. Like, when does it stop?
Our
like,
fans guys, are what because it's our fan base sucks. That makes everyone so mad at us. But
like
but I don't know, we still have this arrogance.
We just want Nebraska to do well. Like I know we have some shit fans. I know that. I handle our Twitter account. They yell at me weekly.
Saying we don't want to just be good again.
No,
we want to be able to.
And why should we? Like,
no, you're right.
What's the point in rolling it out there? But that said, it goes back to what I was talking about earlier. We have no fucking control over it.
Yes. Well, that's
except negative control.
Yeah. All right. There's one thing I definitely want to mention. So we got the Iowa game coming up.
Yeah.
I don't even know how we'll get together to do an episode this week about it. And if we lose again, quite frankly, maybe we should all just take a week off.
I'll just jump on and just read a bunch of Iowa Hate Week tweets.
Yes, right.
It'll
right,
be some
right.
piece of performance art.
Now, if we win, we start getting those Iowa Tears bottles back into production.
Oh, yeah.
But if we lose, do we fire Shenander on the spot?
We tell him, why don't you take the bus back to Iowa City?
Yes.
Oh, wait.
Here's your black shirt.
We'll be in Iowa City. The game. What's that?
I said, give him a black shirt, but it's an Iowa jersey.
Yeah, no, we'll be like, your buyout is we have bought you an apartment near campus. You can stay here tonight.
Yeah. You know, that's the other thing. Stop giving black shirts out.
What sucks is we've worn black shirt uniforms three times, and the defense has played like shit in all.
Every time.
And it sucks because I loved those uniforms.
Yeah. But you're right. They're doing dick for us. Make the black shirts wear all white one time just to, you know, I don't know.
I just want some time for us to come out wearing a cool uniform and then not like choke on our own dicks. Like,
Or even have like the clock run out and not have to like watch the whole game to see if we'll win. You know, like even the wins, as rare as they've been, are unsatisfying.
But like, because the three times we've worn black jerseys are against UCLA on my 30th birthday, the Indiana game last year, which that one wasn't all on defense, but
no, but.
But then
yesterday.
Yeah. It's like I say, it sucks because you can't ever trot those unis out again after laying a fucking egg, but man, those were cool, but they're not cool anymore. Like we've won wearing the worst alternative uniforms, like that shitty one that had the stupid, like we've had the ones that look like
gray
duct tape, numbers,
yes.
Stupid black N,
yes.
For that comeback game against Wisconsin. Yeah.
That's winning game. Ugly.
Yeah.
Maybe we need to just win ugly.
Let's take a page out of the Hayden Fry book since it's Iowa. We can just wear like all pink.
Fine. Anything, you know, well, this is, again, I really kind of, We're not getting these blowouts. Like you think, all right, we won a game. Here comes another one against a shit opponent. This might be a game that halfway reminds me of a Nebraska game I watched 15 years ago, 20 years ago, you know, like where it's like, wow, we're up by two touchdowns in the fourth quarter. Oh, and we have the ball. like where is that game? This game here, I mean, look, it's rivalry, whatever you want to call it. We've just come off really the worst loss of our season so far. It's all comes, you know, I can still enjoy this game if we win. And if we lose, my God, like, do we just say, folks, we're taking a year off?
I think I will have to delete Twitter if I need to have it.
Last year's Iowa game, it was my, yeah.
But, like, I will have to remove it from my phone if Iowa wins. Like, I can't.
Iowa I had a horrible day when Iowa beat us last year. It was one of the worst days of my year last year.
I had two
breakdowns on Twitter, and that day was one of them.
I had to have Brett Moline order a Lyft for me because I killed my phone yelling back and forth with Iowa fans at the Husker bar because I let it cool for a minute. I went over to like a record store the next door over from the Husker bar and like bought something and then came back, had a drink. And then I look at my phone and I had like over 2,000 notifications on Twitter. I was like, oh no, oh no, this is bad. and it was very bad. It
was a bad day. So I hope I don't it goes like the other those. Way.
What?
No, and it's and like it's Thanksgiving is hard enough this year.
Yeah.
Right? Like, are you doing Thanksgiving with anybody?
No. So what we live a block away from my in-laws now, and they like dropped food off for us the other day because my sister-in-law was in town. She stayed at a guest house one over from our in-laws, and then they like ate outside, but Emma and I were working, so they brought some food over to us. So we're going to make Thanksgiving food and take some over to them, but we won't eat with them.
Yeah, I mean,
they're old, like, and vulnerable population. Like, it doesn't make sense.
And look, whether you're listening to the rules and having kind of a distant Thanksgiving, whatever that means, like a lot of us are doing, that's shitty. Or if you're getting together with everybody, yes, there is going to be the company of your relatives, but I can't imagine anyone is doing that and not having the cloud hanging over their head unless they're completely, you know, and obviously there are people who have completely said, forget it, I'm going to live like it doesn't exist. That's scary. But I just think no matter what you're doing, it's a not normal Thanksgiving that will not have the normal level of happiness.
Right. It's less than ideal.
Less than ideal, and a loss would be shit.
Yeah, less than ideal, I think, is how many past girlfriends described me. And then shit probably is how many of them have described me too. So let's not get the Pat Jansen treatment here. Let's make better than ideal. Let's
better than ideal.
Let's make this Mike Canale as a husband. No?
Maybe, sure, whatever. Whoa! You just made me, what did I do there? You just made me drop my phone.
I did say a ridiculous thing. I said a very ridiculous thing. It caused you to drop your phone.
It did.
Shall we wrap this up?
I think so.
We thought we were going.
We really did. We got a couple conversations that took us, you know, 8, 9, 10 minute chunks. So that got us through the whole thing without really having to dwell too much on the misery.
Neither one of us wanted to do this today. And you know what?
Tweety succeeded in not doing it.
It was nice to commiserate though, because man, that was
yes.
That was one of the worst Husker games I've seen in a while.
Yeah. I know how it is. If Tweety had been in here, all of us have kind of anger, misguided, misdirected, and it would have just all gotten into a lot of yelling about nothing.
I love Tweety, and I think he adds to the podcast. I think
Oh yeah.
I think whenever any one of the three of us is missing, it detracts from the podcast, but it may have been for the best today because, like you say, I think there would have just been too much anger all in one place. And because I think you're right. I think we would have all yelled at each other, and that's not putting it on Tweety. But I mean, he wears his heart on his sleeve.
And I like to maybe, yell at him. Maybe we all just need me, to breathe so. Today.
What?
And what'd that's for all everyone listening. I said I like to yell at Tweety and he likes to yell at me. So it's better that we didn't have the yelling.
Believe me, I've as the referee in many of those conversations,
you're the least yelling. So everyone should take a breath. Enjoy whatever Thanksgiving they have, and hopefully are indetermined to be recorded after the game sometime episode will be a happy one.
Yeah, well, the bright side of it being a Black Friday game is if it doesn't go well, we have more time between the end of the game and when the episode needs to be released to potentially have like cool down and recording time. So there's that.
Listen to how we're already anticipating this.
Dude, we're 21st century Husker fans. Like, for real, we are. The last time we had a winning record was 2016.
Well,
and it's probably likely to remain that way after this season.
But just for the record, Clemson before 1981 was nothing. So if we're above where Clemson was in 1980.
Are we though?
I don't know.
They weren't good, but
they had Chris Collinsworth, I think.
He went to Clemson?
No, maybe he went to Tennessee. No, he went to Tennessee, maybe. I forget.
I'll
have to look that up.
In any case, how did I not know? Like, I pride myself on knowing where guys went to college and then also the mascots.
Most guys, but I had his rookie card on the Bengals same year as Lawrence Taylor. I think he came into the league. That was a good rookie crop, actually. Ronnie Lott also came into the league that year. Yeah.
That's solid.
George Rogers, I think, the Heisman Trophy winner from South Carolina, as it turned out. We talked about them earlier. Anyway, whatever. I don't know how we got on that tangent. I got to pee so bad.
All right. Well, I was trying to figure out a cool stat, but you know what? Peeing is probably better.
Oh, go ahead.
I'll let you go do that. Well, it's going to take.
What was the stat?
Formulate the math. I was going back to like October of 2016 to figure out what our record has been since then.
Go ahead and figure. I can vamp for you for a second and give a couple statistics if you want.
Okay, go ahead. Go ahead.
All right. So this is because Tweety's not here, we're allowed to talk about soccer a little bit. So while you're tabulating this, the stats that I sent you and my brother today. So there's something in soccer called own goals, where you score a goal against your own team. And the record is 10 own goals in a career for a guy in the Premier League. But I looked up and there was a guy in the German league who once scored 3 own goals in a game his team lost 3-2. So that hasn't happened to us. Imagine that guy.
Whoa.
3 own goals and you lost 3-2. So it could be worse. Whoa. Folks.
Man, that's really bad.
Imagine that. Cause your team scored too.
Man. We've lost. If you go back to October 29th of 2016, we've lost 30 games. That is 2/3 of our games.
So we've won 13,
15 or 16.
16, Jesus. We have a .333 winning percentage.
Basically, just a shade over that. And that's including so I included 2 wins on the back half of that 2016 season that we won 9 total. Right. So, I mean, it could actually be an even worse winning percentage.
Take it from the top of the 2017 is worse.
What?
Oh,
yeah.
I said, yeah, that's awful.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, 16 wins. It's so easy to calculate 30 losses? Wins right now. 30, I believe, is the correct number. Yeah, 30 losses.
Okie doke. Well, we got to win our next four to get up to a 400%.
Let's do it. That will be our first, like,
let's do it.
That'll be our first, like, true winning streak since we rattled off those seven straight wins to start off 2016. We haven't won more than two in a row since then.
Let's do three in a row now, starting with one.
Yeah, let's do the whole major league thing, and just that's what I call a winning streak. Actually, let's just win one. Let's just put
turn
one step
it around.
In.
Yeah,
let's just win one.
This
step
one would be great.
Other.
This if we're talking one game, this is the one.
And then we can start. And then we can start peeling bits of clothing off of the cardboard cutout of the Cleveland Indians owner, and then we make the major league playoffs. That's how this all works, right?
All right. I'm in.
All right. Follow us on Twitter at Big Red Copcast. We're on Facebook.com/Cobcast, Patreon.com/Big Red Copcast. You only have to donate 1 month at the water bottle level, and then you can cancel if you want. And then you get that Hawkeye Tears water bottle, and then you can drink out of that when we beat Iowa, when it happens, guys.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to
mm-hmm.
happen. There.
Yes.
There.
Show your now, faith and order it before the game.
Yeah, yeah. Don't be one of those putzes who orders after the fact, because then you're gonna get it like in December.
That's right. You
then
order
the
before,
joke is gonna
we still
be
got
too
some
late.
Ready. Yes.
Yeah.
Get
yeah.
It now.
Unless you're anticipating a couple wins against Iowa in basketball too, because then it works for that too. In any case, Joe's gotta pee, so we're gonna wrap this up. Fatty rides a bus.
Fatty rides a bus. Happy Thanksgiving.
And a Boardwalk Audio podcast. For more information and shows, visit BoardwalkAudio.com. Don't forget to rate and subscribe now.
The Sea of Red, Husker Nation.
See what makes Nebraska fans the greatest fans in college football with a new movie directed by Lincoln native Ryan Tweedy.
Through These Gates.
The perfect gift for Husker fans.
Available on DVD now at HuskerFilm.com.